You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today as Tennessee's basketball team got a win on Tuesday night. It was not the prettiest basketball game that Tennessee has played this season. We'll talk about that here in the first segment of the show. You will hear Rick Barnes talk about his team grinding through this stretch of the season. The Vols have a really big game coming up on Saturday at LSU. Is Tennessee ready for that game? I will say Tennessee needs to play better Saturday if it wants to try to win on the road. Vanderbilt's not the toughest competition that Tennessee played last night. But you'll hear from Rick Barnes what he had to say after the game. The grind that Tennessee is going through, was Tennessee better defensively? Because I think that's been a really big key for Tennessee here recently. Lamonte Turner will talk about the fatigue that Tennessee might have to fight through at this time of year as well. That's coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, David Ubben of The Athletic will stop by. I'm going to talk to him about Tennessee's coaching changes and the potential impact of Derek Ansley on Tennessee's staff, as he's going to be the new play caller. I think that's been the biggest topic around Tennessee football the last few days. We'll see what David thinks when he joins the show in segment number two. And in segment number three, an update on Kentucky basketball, as one of the Wildcats' top players suffered an injury last night. So an update on what happened in SEC hoops and another look ahead for Tennessee's basketball team now with five games to go in the regular season. This is Locked On Vols, your team every day, 5 days a week, talking about what's going on with Tennessee, available anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker. We'll play Locked On Vols. So Tennessee gets the win against Vanderbilt, 58-46, a low-scoring game. Both teams really struggled shooting the ball from the outside. Tennessee hit 29% of its threes. Vanderbilt hit 30%. And Tennessee might be fortunate a little bit that Vanderbilt missed some shots. You can say the same on the other end, though. But Grant Williams led Tennessee in scoring with 14 points. He also grabbed 11 rebounds. And Rick Barnes said after the game, he'll take that from Grant Williams just about every night. Now, there will be nights where he might need to score more. The 11 rebounds, though, for sure made Rick Barnes happy. At least I would think that's the case. Admiral Schofield had 12 points. Lamonte Turner had 12 points. He didn't shoot particularly well. He hit 3 of 9 threes. Lamonte did. And then Jordan Bowden had 9 points. Another off night for Jordan Bowden. He's had back-to-back tough nights shooting the basketball. He was 1 of 6 coming off the bench for Tennessee with 4 points. Tennessee just didn't have a lot of offense there, and there was a stretch in the second half where it was pretty ugly to watch, and in a play where I thought John Fulkerson could have taken the ball up on a pass down the court, and said he kicked it back out for what ended up being a blown possession, Rick Barnes put his face in his hand. So in that moment, at least, he appeared frustrated as well. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Rick Barnes was unhappy with the team's overall performance. A big focus going in was defense. And if you look at the shooting numbers for Vanderbilt, the Commodores shot only 32% from the field, 30% behind the three-point line, as I mentioned. They also didn't shoot very well at the free throw line. Defense has nothing to do with that, but they were only 3 of 6 at the free throw line. Only 15 free throws taken for the entire game, by the way. But defense was a big focus going in, I think, after what happened against Kentucky and considering some of the other issues that Tennessee has had this season. So Rick Barnes talked about the performance, what he saw from Tennessee on Tuesday night, and defense was a key point in what Rick Barnes had to say.
You know, I thought our guys did everything right leading into this game. You know, we came back, and I thought they really very seriously took a look at the game after Saturday night and understood the mistakes that we made. And we came out yesterday and had as good a practice as we've had in probably 3 weeks. And we came out tonight, I thought defensively we were very good, and we had some shots that we didn't make. You know, we had some looks at it, but again, I've got a lot of respect for Vanderbilt and the fact that they've had to really, once the season got started, had to really rebuild themselves after Darius Garland went down. And I think Bryce has done a terrific job keeping his guys, and they play hard. You know, that's the one thing when you've had the kind of year they've had and his team keeps competing, you've got to admire that. And they've been in more games than people might think. I mean, they've had a chance to win games and could have won this one as well tonight. But the fact is we defensively, I thought we were really good. And, you know, if you look at our shooting, you know, again, who was it? Jordan Bowden and Lamonte didn't have great shooting nights. But again, that's part of the game, but our defense was pretty solid.
So defensive improvement was there, according to Rick Barnes. And again, Vanderbilt's not a very good team. Vanderbilt's winless in SEC play. Rick is correct that they've had some games that have been fairly competitive here recently. This past weekend, Vanderbilt was competitive with Auburn until late in the game. Still, Vanderbilt has not won a game this season. It's the worst team in the league. And I think that's part of the frustration, if there was some, from Tennessee fans on Tuesday night was, okay, things didn't go so well against Kentucky. Things went very poorly against Kentucky. Shouldn't Tennessee bounce back at home against a winless team and blow them out? And I did think that was going to happen. I thought Tennessee would win by a greater margin than we saw. I didn't think that with a few minutes to go, there would be some kind of doubt, at least, into what would happen. And I say that because I don't think watching the game, there was really any fear that Vanderbilt was going to win that basketball game. But the score was fairly close for a good part of the time in the second half. But part of Rick Barnes' thought was, okay, they've played a lot of basketball here recently. We need to be better on the defensive side. I saw a stat from a writer with the Action Network earlier this week. In the past 11 years, the national champ has been top 20 in defensive efficiency ratings in the country. Tennessee going into yesterday was number 52. Now, that's to win the national championship, not win the SEC or get to the Final Four. But it tells you to be the best, which Tennessee hopes to be. Tennessee needs to be much better defensively, and I think that is a big focus. And Vanderbilt coach Bryce Drew mentioned after the game that he thought he was looking at two tired teams, which I kind of thought as well. That was probably a factor, especially when you look at the shooting performances, because both teams had some open shots that they just didn't knock down. Combined, the two teams were 13 of 44 behind the three-point line. That's another reason that it was kind of ugly. Has Rick Barnes sensed that? What did he think of what Bryce Drew said and what Tennessee is trying to go through right now, playing the amount of games they have here recently?
It's different, and again, it's not just Saturday. We played Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, right? So that means we're playing, three games in, 6 days? And I think it's February. So it is a difference. That's where the schedule, that's why you have to just grind your way through it. And tonight, again, it's one of those games that very seldom happens, but it did, where the first timeout came at what, the 14-minute mark? I mean, the teams played forever. And I think we started the second half like that, where there wasn't fouls. It just kept running time. Or I know the first half went a long time. And I think the first 6 minutes, if I remember right, I don't think they subbed. We were able to get some sub in there around the 17-minute mark, I think. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to, because the other night we didn't think we did that enough. But I would say that this time of year you could throw being tired and a Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday is a grind. It is.
So Tennessee has played 3 games in 7 days is what it would be from Wednesday through Tuesday. That is a lot of basketball, though, in a pretty short amount of time, considering you're in this conference run. And not to make too much of it, I just think that it is a part of what we're seeing. That's why getting 3 days between the Vanderbilt game and LSU will help. I think it's better that Tennessee played on a Tuesday and can take Wednesday off, then get ready Thursday and Friday. You're traveling. You have an early game. It's a noon Eastern tip, which will be 11 Central time in Baton Rouge on Saturday. And LSU plays tonight against Florida. So LSU will only have 2 days in between the games between Florida and Tennessee. One more thought on that. I did ask Lamonte Turner after the game on Tuesday, is Tennessee having to battle through fatigue at all right now? Here's what Lamonte Turner said.
Yeah, a little. I mean, I guess sometimes, you know, your legs get a little tired, stuff like that. You got to focus a little more. But I think it's mental more than anything. I think mentally, coach does a great job of, you know, teaching us just to, like, to take care of our bodies and stuff like that. So we've just been doing that and mentally just focus on film. And practice isn't as long this time of the year, so coach helps out a lot with that. So I think we're fine.
Tennessee will turn its attention to LSU, a nice off day coming for Tennessee's basketball team, get back to work, and then get prepared for a road trip to Baton Rouge. With that game coming up this weekend, it will be a really important game for both teams, Tennessee and LSU. LSU in action tonight. I'll get to what's going on in the SEC coming up in the final segment of the show. Coming up next here on Locked On Vols, David Ubben of The Athletic stops by. I'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's football coaching staff changes, Jeremy Pruitt relinquishing his play calling duties, Is that a big deal? I'll ask David coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, 5 days a week here, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today it's presented by Learning RX Knoxville, a great organization doing great work on North Shore Drive. I've been to Learning RX. I've seen the work that they can do. I've seen what they're doing with the one-on-one training that takes place, the brain training that Learning RX has to offer. If you have someone in your life, if you know someone that needs help with learning, is having memory issues, is struggling with reading, Learning RX can help you with that. They can also do a lot of great work to help with attention deficit issues. If you go online, learningrx.com/Knoxville, you can see what kind of work they're doing. You can see how it helps. But the one-on-one work is so important, and it starts with a cognitive assessment. So they sit down and they figure out, okay, what are the issues? Why are the issues taking place? And how can we help? And that one-on-one training makes the difference. If you want to find out what Learning RX can do for you, again, the website is learningrx.com/Knoxville. You can also give them a call. Schedule a cognitive assessment. The phone number is 865-246-6326. That's 865-246-6326. At Learning RX, you can learn easier, think faster, perform better. It's Learning RX Knoxville. So I want to welcome to the show now David Ubben with The Athletic, covering Tennessee every single day. You can follow him on Twitter at David Ubben. David, thanks for the time as always. I wanted to have you on and ask you about Tennessee's coaching moves that have taken place here recently. Jeremy Pruitt announced the new look staff on Friday, and with the changes that were made, I thought the most notable was Derek Ansley not only being named the defensive coordinator, but also receiving play-calling duties. Jeremy Pruitt giving those up to Tennessee's new defensive coordinator. How substantial was that when you heard that on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, that last part is really the jaw-dropper for me. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, you look at last year's staff, and of those 10, only four guys are still doing the same job this year, and two of them, and Charles Kelly and Terry Fair, are gone. But, I mean, you know, I think if you would ask me a year ago, you know, when Jeremy Pruitt would give up defensive play calling duties, I would have said, you know, year 10 at the earliest if he makes it there. I think he, you know, wanted to certainly have his hands all over his program. And so very surprising to make this move publicly, and I'll couch that by saying that, one, he's definitely still going to be very involved in defensive play calling, and two, you know, we'll see what happens if they take it on the chin, you know, in an early game and the defense struggles early. I think you're probably going to see him, you know, whether it's publicly or privately, wrestle back those responsibilities. But it's interesting, to say the least, and I think it speaks a lot to how he thought year one went. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to take it besides he feels like he's got to delegate a little more. He might have been sort of spread a little bit too thin in his first year as a head coach.
Yeah, it was his first year as a head coach. So that's probably the biggest takeaway, is that he reevaluated and said, that's too much on my plate to be the head coach and to be calling plays on the defensive side. And then also with Derek Ansley being the guy, obviously there is a trust factor for Jeremy Pruitt to hand those duties over to Ansley coming in.
Which I think is interesting, actually, because, you know, for one, Derek Ansley, you know, you talk to people about him. I was not super familiar with him before he was hired. But you talk to people around football, he's obviously very, very well respected in the business. A lot of people really feel like he's a rising star. But in the same breath, he's still a first-time play caller. And so for Jeremy Pruitt to hand that off is very interesting, considering that he had a first-time play caller and offensive coordinator a year ago in Tyson Helton, who was also paid very handsomely for his services. And he, you know, chose to go with a much more experienced guy in Jim Chaney in year two. And so it's an interesting balance. It's one of the more shocking moves anyone could have ever expected from Jeremy Pruitt coming off his first year.
Yeah, and talking to David Ubben with The Athletic, theathletic.com, we're all curious to see how it's going to play out, because as you mentioned, things can change. If Tennessee struggles on the field defensively, Jeremy Pruitt is there, and this is the first time for Derek Ansley to do this. So let's see what happens if Tennessee does have any defensive issues on the field, because they're still going to play some really good teams. Florida on the road, Georgia and Alabama are really tough. So, again, to be determined what the results will be.
Absolutely, and I think, too, you know, Derek Ansley is a guy who is very familiar with their system. They'd worked together previously at Alabama. And Jeremy Pruitt said it himself on Friday when he introduced him. You know, Jeremy said, you know, Derek's a guy that when I start a sentence, he can probably finish it. And so I think philosophically they're on very similar pages. I think that gives him a big amount of confidence. But also I really think it's interesting, too. You know, last year there were only three programs in the country that had million dollar coordinators at both coordinator positions. And all three of those, for various reasons, you know, Tennessee or Alabama had both of the guys leave for different jobs. Auburn also had guys leave for different jobs. And then Ohio State promoted Ryan Day, and then Greg Schiano left. So Tennessee is joining that very small group. I'm not sure how many guys are in line for 2019, but it's very, very rare. So, you know, that delegation is one thing, but also putting a lot of faith in money and sort of trying to buy their way to the top and push some money in there that gets them a guy in Derek Ansley, who a lot of people were talking to. He offered another Power 5 defensive coordinator job this offseason and turned it down. Did not turn down Tennessee. Had also had some conversations with Georgia. So very, very interesting. But Tennessee wanted to get him here, and now he's here. And it's going to cost him, but if you win, no one cares. They're going to be happy to have him.
And, David, isn't it going to be interesting to see what happens with the personnel? They've recruited some newcomers to come in. Henry Toto and Quavarius Crouch should be standouts there. Linebacker J.J. Peterson, how he develops into his second season at Tennessee. But how these newcomers perform and how they develop over the offseason and summer will be a big part of what happens in 2019.
I mean, absolutely. You look all over the field, but especially at defense, you know, is there anyone that should go into spring feeling pretty good about their spot? I mean, Daryl Taylor might be the only guy. You look at defensive line, it's going to be a complete crapshoot up front. You know, you got to feel like, you know, they have got one guy that they feel like is pretty good in the middle there, Mr. Last Chance U. But I think, you know, you look at the rest of the defense, it's really going to be a grab bag. You know, you've got Darren Kirkland Jr., linebacker, but you've got so much young talent. You mentioned Toto, Quavarius Crouch there. Where does J.J. Peterson find his home there? But, you know, Darrell Middleton, you know, Roman Harrison, some of these new guys that could get in the mix on the defensive line, it's really going to be a battle, and I think you're going to see a lot of bodies get a lot of time in the fall and sort of see Tennessee trying to figure out, what do we got? Did we recruit some stars? Did we recruit some guys that can really be foundational pieces for the program moving forward?
Well, and something we've discussed in the past, that's why talking about these players and how they can develop, getting Craig Fitzgerald to stay as the strength and conditioning coach, so important for this staff, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you know, for more than anything, you know, beyond Fitzgerald's prowess, I think for one, you know, I am of the mind that there's a lot of really good strength coaches in America. I think there's good ones and bad ones. If you got a good one, you know, I kind of think that the difference is negligible. They're very, very important, but I think there's a lot of good ones. But the biggest thing is that continuity. I mean, it's the same thing as a coaching change. If you're restarting every year, if you're putting in a new defense, you're putting in a new offense every year, and guys are having to relearn things, and coaches are having to relearn, okay, what do we got, and sort of learn guys. We haven't been able to see the production of a guy starting and finishing 4 years in the same strength program. We haven't gotten to see the transformation. And when you're on the same program, that continuity is huge. In Tennessee, I mean, five strength coaches in 5 years is really a disaster. You know, it's I think people really underestimate the value of continuity everywhere, but especially when you're talking about the strength program. I think that having another year in the same system, I think it's really valuable for Tennessee. And also, guy Craig Fitzgerald, if you're getting him to turn down his alma mater at Maryland, you got to feel pretty good about what the state of your program, that people are wanting to stay here. So a very valuable and big move for Tennessee going into the offseason. This is strength coach season.
I agree with you. David, before you go, you have a story that I think is really interesting that any college football fan would be interested in reading, but it's actually based in Knoxville, Grace Christian Academy, but a bit of a catfishing recruiting story that ended up affecting the recruiting services. What did you find there? What are some of kind of the highlights there?
Yeah, so long story short, if you're a casual college football fan, you might have seen last week, basically there was a three-star recruit who did not exist, and yet, if you believe the two major recruiting services, he was a 6'6", 310-pound offensive tackle from Grace Christian at Auburn, from Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and Division III Amherst College. So He didn't exist technically, but there is a person named Blake Carringer at Grace Christian Academy. I was able to track him down, and you know, people paid a lot of attention to this existence of the catfish last week. But I was able to track him down and sort of tell how this all kind of happened, how this all came together, and who caught him, and how this whole kind of embarrassing recruiting saga ended up coming together.
How easy was it to track down everybody you wanted to talk to?
People did not want to talk about this story. I think there's as many no comments or declined to be interviews in this story as guys that I actually was able to track down. So, yeah, people were not super keen on talking, but I was able to get quite a few people to talk on and off the record about sort of what's been happening and how this all kind of happened. A very embarrassing saga, a big L, I think, for the recruiting industry in general, which is, I think, a group that does a pretty good job most of the time. But, you know, there's always been kind of this kind of bubbling speculation that recruiting rankings were based more on, you know, an offer list or who a guy is committed to. When you talk about, you know, a non-committable offer and all those kind of complicated things, there's always been a suspicion that those rankings are based more on offer lists rather than independent analysis of the guys that are, you know, paid to do that. And this was kind of that sort of fear taken to its furthest level, a wide-ranging extrapolation of sort of the walking, talking criticism of the recruiting industry. So I was fascinated by the story, and tracking it down was a lot of fun over the last week or so.
When people don't want to talk about a story, that's an indication you want to read that story. So read it.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. Go read it at theathletic.com. Follow him on Twitter at David Ubben. David, thanks for the time as always. I appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
Good stuff there from David Ubben, theathletic.com. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, a look at what happened in the SEC last night. An injury to one of Tennessee's top opponents in the SEC in basketball, and a game to pay attention to tonight. Maybe a couple of games. I'll get to that coming up right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. Tomorrow, I will work in a mailbag section to the show. If you want to send me any questions or comments for it, @Josh_Ward is where you can find me on Twitter, @Josh_Ward. And then on Facebook, if you go to my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Josh Ward. Send me a question or comment anytime for the show. Locked On Vols, your team every day. And last night, there were four games in the SEC, you know, about Tennessee's win over Vanderbilt, 58-46. By the way, fourth straight win for Tennessee that was decided by 12 points. Kind of just a funny note, I thought. Three other games last night. South Carolina beat Ole Miss 79-64. That's a really impressive win for Frank Martin's team. Now South Carolina is 9-4 in league play, fourth in the league. After a really bad run in non-conference play, Frank Martin's done a really good job getting that team ready in conference play. And then in the 9 o'clock slot last night, Texas A&M beat Alabama 65-56. Bama's trying to hold on to an NCAA tournament spot. That did not help. Kentucky beat Missouri 66-58. The real story, though, coming out of that game was that Reed Travis suffered a knee injury, described as a knee sprain. We're waiting to see what happens there. But Travis is a really important player for Kentucky. He transferred in from Stanford, added some size and a lot of experience to that front court for the Wildcats. So Tennessee and Kentucky are getting ready to play here again soon in Knoxville. I think everybody hopes that he's okay and that he's able to come back, but that is worth monitoring. Losing Reed Travis would potentially really hurt Kentucky. So that's something to monitor, the news out of Lexington with what happens with Reed Travis. Coming up tonight in the SEC, LSU will be at home against Florida. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you're probably a Gators fan tonight because LSU and Tennessee are tied atop the SEC standings. And if you're Tennessee, you'd like a little breathing room, although you might look at it and say, well, last week LSU beat Kentucky and then Kentucky was fired up when Tennessee came to town. That could happen again this week. I think LSU is going to be fired up either way when Tennessee's there on Saturday. It's going to be a sellout crowd this weekend. So Florida and LSU at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. The first game of the night is Georgia at home against Mississippi State. Mississippi State favored by about 6 points in that one. And then at 8:30 tonight on the SEC Network, Auburn will be at home against Arkansas. Auburn's a big favorite there. It has not been the best season for Bruce Pearl's team. The Tigers have not lived up to preseason top 10 talk, but Auburn is still a top 25 team in the net rankings and still comfortably in the NCAA tournament. Auburn will look to take care of business tonight. Remember, Auburn and Tennessee will play in the final game of the regular season. Coming up tomorrow on Locked On Vols, more Tennessee basketball and football talk. I'm going to get some of your questions in on the show as well. Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, today presented by LearningRx Knoxville. Thanks so much for hanging out here today. Keep spreading the word. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do that as well. Thanks to everybody who has. It's Locked On Vols. I'm Josh Ward. I'll see you here tomorrow.